Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
I'm so glad that you're here this morning. So we started a brand new series for your house, your home. Let's ask God's blessing on His Word. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for your house, your home. I pray that as you preach this word, Lord, the magnitude and the value and the appreciation for your home and your house would explode in our minds and our hearts this morning. Thank you for the anointed word of God that penetrates deep into our heart and our soul, and it brings freedom, brings strength, and brings glory back to you. Help us to hear the word and put it into practice today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I'm going to take you right to Psalm chapter 27, verse 4. Psalm 27, verse 4. These are the words of David himself. And David said, "One thing, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in His temple." So David said, if there's one thing I want in life, one thing I seek the very most, is to dwell in God's house. If you read the Bible and you read all about David, you realize that David was one of the greatest men that ever lived. He's one of the greatest men in the Bible. And yes, you read a story. His life wasn't perfect. He had a lot of ups and downs like we have. And he made some big mistakes, kind of like we do in life. But here's the thing about David. David's passion for God was as strong at the end as it was at the beginning, right? His passion for God and his passion for God's house was strong as ever. You know, and David had a secret for a successful life. And it wasn't one of those complicated formulas like Tony Robbins' formula for success in life. You know, it was one of those modern day success guru formulas. It was very, very simple. You know what David's formula, David's secret to success in life is? It's simply this. It's to love God and to love his house. To love God and to love his house. Very, very simple. Love his home. Home is where the heart is, right? There's no place like home. Where there's love in the home, there's joy in the heart, right? You know? Home is where love resides. Home is where memories are created. Home is where friends, where family belong. And home is a place where laughter should never end. It should be a place of never-ending laughter and joy. It should be, it's home, sweet home. You know, and you think about how many songs have been written by home. You can all probably think of a song that talks about home. You know, like, that song about Alabama, Home Sweet, Sweet Home, right? Sweet Home, Alabama, where the skies are blue, right? Sweet Home, Alabama, Lord, I'm coming back to you, right? That should have been my second professional singer. No. You guys are laughing. Home. You know, I believe the greatest gift, one of the greatest gifts that God could give us, out of his goodness to us, out of his love for us, God gave us this beautiful gift called family. Called family, right? But not only did he give us natural family, right? He gave us more than that. He gave us spiritual family. He gave us a spiritual family to belong to. His house, his home, and where his heart is, right? In Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, or 2 verse Is it 2:19? 2:19, God said, 2:18, it is not good for a man to be alone. And then later on in Genesis 9:7, God says, be fruitful and multiply. Right? So it is not good for a man to be alone. So therefore, God gave us marriage. Yeah, he gave us woman, right? So we wouldn't be alone. But he gave us marriage, right? He gave us marriage. He gave us woman. Marriage is between one man and one woman to become one, to become united, right? Then he said, be fruitful and multiply. And so God gave us family, and he gave us kids. He gave us family, and he gave us home. You know, more than ever, when I look at society, when you hear the cries of young people today, I think that more than ever, that young people especially are hungering for home. You know, in a fatherless, in a motherless world, in a broken home world, you know, in a dysfunctional world, I think young people are hungering, they're craving, they're desiring this God-made thing called home, called family. And, you know, and I believe that God has placed that same desire in all of us. He's placed this it's a God desire he placed in all of us to long for home and to long for family. And that's why I believe that our number one priority should be home. It should be God's home, right? We have a saying that we've adopted from our partnership church in Red Deer, Alberta, and it's called Home Church. And the saying goes this way, you'll be familiar. Everyone needs Jesus, and everyone needs a home. You know, home is a healing word. Home is what we need. Home is what all of us really want. You know, home is a place of belonging. Home is a place of protection, life, joy, peace, security, provision. You know, and I want us to really appreciate what we have in this thing called home that God has given us. So I'm going to give you just a few pointers on what home should mean to all of us. Number one, I believe that the first thing about home is that, number one, it's a place of protection. A place of protection. King David said, Psalm 27, verse 4, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, verse 5 says, for he will conceal me there when trouble comes. In this life, are you going to have trouble? Yeah, didn't Jesus tell us? Didn't he warn us ahead of time? In this life, you will have trouble. But take heart, be encouraged. I've overcome the world. But God says there's going to be trouble. And the psalmist said, David said, he will conceal me when trouble comes. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will hide me. He will keep me a secret from my enemies. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. He will position me above my enemies. So home is a place where God conceals us, God hides us, and God places us above, positions above our enemies and many of the problems and troubles that can come into our life. You know, I believe the hand of God is constantly trying to lead us. Do you agree with that? God never leaves us alone. The hand of God is always trying to guide us to safety. And so he's always trying to guide you to the house. Because there's trouble, there's problems. You have an enemy that's against you. We live in a fallen world. And if God's going to guide you to a place of safety, he's going to guide you to his house, right? So many people living in fear today. There's so many fears. I remember preaching on this, the subject of all the different fears that we can go through. There was like hundreds of fears, big, small, big fears, small fears. I'm thinking one of the biggest fears that people have is the fear of the future. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? A lot of baby boomers are fearing, what's going to happen to my future? How am I going to retire? How am I going to do it? Fear of the future. How about the fear of ISIS and terrorism? Fear of the economy collapsing, right? You know, fear of the prime minister. We shouldn't fear that. God is greater than our prime minister, right? Fear of the president. Vera, you're from the United States. A lot of fear of the president, right? How about the fear of no cell phone service? I can't go there. I have no cell phone service, right? Some people have the, and I heard of this fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. I can't eat peanut butter, right? Big fears, small fears, all kinds of fears. But listen, you know one of the biggest, you know how fear gets into your heart? When you start listening to the wrong voices, right? When you're listening to the wrong voices. And you know, I say, if you don't hang around with people who are filled with fear. Don't hang around with them a lot. And whenever they give you fearful thoughts, counter it with God's positive, powerful word, right? You know, and I think one of the greatest ways that we can get fear if we get stuck watching the evening news, on that secular evening news all the time. If you're constantly watching it, fear will fill your heart. But if you believe God's word, if you read it, if you believe it, if you meditate on it, and if you declare his word over your life, then your heart will be filled with faith. Do you agree with that? Listen to what the prophet said, Isaiah 43, verse 1. Isaiah said, But now, this is what the Lord says. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Let's just stop there. If you just take that one verse and you meditate on that verse and you believe that verse for yourself and you declare that verse over your life, that I don't have to be, because I have been redeemed by God. I'm bought, paid by God. I'm called by God. He knows my name and he is mine. And you declare that word over your life constantly. A peace and a rest and a faith will enter your soul. Amen? And he goes on to say, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I'm your Savior. And he's trying to say this, you know, and Isaiah is saying, fear not, fear not. And the Word of God is always trying to tell us that, fear not. One of the greatest psalms, I love the psalms. I try to read a psalm every day. One of the greatest psalms, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 91. Psalm 91 that says that he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest. How we need rest in our soul, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Right? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, he is my God in whom I trust. Amen? I can't trust in anything else, but I can trust in God. Amen? You know what we're going to do today? Is I want you to participate. We're going to read all of Psalm 91 together. Can we do that? Yes. This is the new, I think this is New Living Test. This is the NIV version. Psalm 91. Can we read this? Let's read this out loud. Okay, are you ready? Let's read this together. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, the Lord is my refuge, and if you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in your hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Isn't that powerful? You take that word. You speak that word over your life. You meditate it. And you declare that word over your life. And I tell you, a peace of God and a presence of God will envelop your soul and your spirit. Many times I've gone back to that scripture and I've quoted that aloud over my own personal life. You know, it says in verse 9, if you say, the Lord is my refuge. God wants us to speak and declare his powerful word over our life, to personalize it. Amen? You know, and God is saying right here, and the psalmist is saying, I don't know if David wrote this, I'm not quite sure who wrote this psalm, but the psalmist is saying, God is with me. God is with me. You know, he's going to protect me. He's going to hide me in his house. He will hide me in his home. And he will preserve me. I will have long life. I am protected by God. He will set me high upon the rock. It's all in God's house. When my mother was 68 years old, we were called. We were in another city. They called us and said, your mom is dying. You got to come really quick. We came to the hospital that evening. Whole family was there. We gathered around her bed. She has gone into a massive coma, had seizures, collapsed. And she said, in the hospital, the physician said she might never make it out. So we gathered around her and we prayed for her. Guess what? She made it out of that coma. 3 hours later, she awoke. When she went into that coma, she was struggling with dementia. When she came out of that coma, she was lucid. Her mind was sharper than it had ever been for years. Her memory was incredible. It was like having a conversation with an entirely new person. Nothing's impossible for God. 68 years old. At about 83 years of age, once again, 17 years later, called to the hospital. All the family gathers. They said, we're going to put her into palliative care. She's hooked up to IV. She's not going to miss. She's got maybe days, weeks, maybe a month or two at the most to live. She's going to die. She's got cancer in all her organs. We prayed. God raised her up. My mom lived till she was 93 years of age. And then she went to be home with the Lord. If you're sick, if you need healing, run to the house. Amen? And have the elders pray for you. We're going to pray for people right after the service for those who are sick. I'm going to get prayer too as well. When the economy went bad in the 80s, I was working as a full-time sales representative for a television station. It was straight commission. I had no, you know. And when that economy went bad, almost collapsed in the 80s, I don't know if you guys remember that. It went so bad. All the major advertisers that were my clients stopped advertising. And therefore, I couldn't even make a living. We couldn't even make a living anymore. And so I went to the house of God. And I had the pastors pray for me, had the elders pray for me. And they counseled me. They encouraged me. A few months later, I quit that job. I started another job. And I had to really, we had to trust God. But the end of the year after that, I ended up making more money, twice what I'd ever made in the best year I'd have had in my previous job, right? And the year after that, I doubled that too as well. Wow. You see, God provides. God provides. He provides wisdom and he provides counsel in the house to prosper you. Amen? Joseph and Eden aren't here. Afraid of the snow, I think. No, don't say that. When their son, they had five kids. When their little toddler was 2 years old, he was found. 9 months old, he was found in a bathtub, face up, in water for a couple of minutes maybe. Medics were called in. They were able to at least keep him alive, resuscitate him, took him to the hospital. They checked him out. And I remember talking to Yosef. We're standing in that waiting room and the doctors told him, we did a blood test. There's death in the blood. There's already death in his blood. He's probably not going to make it. If he makes it out, he's going to be probably pretty well brain dead. It was an absolute miracle. When Joseph and Aiden heard that report, they ran to the house. They got God's people praying for them. They got their friends of faith praying for them. And God raised that child up. Today he's around, what, 11, 12 years old, Manasseh? He's around 12 years old. 9 years old, he's at the top of his class academically. Praise God. Nothing is impossible for God. Amen? You know, God is there for us all the time. You know, when Karen, you know, when we were abandoned by friends, we talk about relationship. We've lost some good friends over the years. Friends we never thought we'd never abandoned us. You know? But God kept us. And God concealed us. God encouraged. Listen, God never said that you wouldn't go through the fire. But he did say you wouldn't get burned, right? He didn't say that you wouldn't go through waters. But he did say you wouldn't drown. What he did say is, I will protect you. I will rescue you. And I will even cause the angels to catch you. So do not fear. Amen? When trouble comes, God says, I will conceal you. I will hide you. I will place you high on the rock. Amen? God's house is a place of safety and protection. You know, some people don't like God's house. You know why they don't like God's house? Because they don't like God's rules. But God's rules, God's words, are there to protect you. And they're to guide you, right? You know, some people don't like coming to church because they don't like to hear what the pastor has to say all the time. You know, but the pastor is there to shepherd you. He's there to encourage you. And yes, sometimes to even rebuke you and to correct you, right? Under the guidance of God's word, right? Under the influence of God's word. So in God's house is the influence of God's word, God's voice, right? And God's people. And all these things, they're not there to constrain you. They're not there to cramp your style. Yeah, maybe they're to cramp your style, right? But they're to keep you safe. They're to bless you, to keep you safe in the walls, right? You know, God wants to put boundaries around us to protect us, right? And I believe there's a psalm that said, the boundaries have fallen in pleasant places. Good, blessed places. That's why the word of God is there. When God says, don't do this, or you shouldn't do it, there's a reason why he tells you not to do that. They're to protect you and to bless you. Thank God for God's word and God's commands in our life. Even the ones that we don't like. Amen? God's house, God's home, is a place of protection and safety. Number two, go a little quicker. Home is a place of residence and relationship. A residence is a place of relationship, and it's a place of belonging. We belong in God's house. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1, King David was at the very end of his rule. And there was another king that was ready to take his place. That was his son Samuel. David had a passion to build God's house, but God said, no, you're not going to build the temple, this fantastic temple, house of worship for me. It's going to be your son. Okay? So in 1 Samuel 29, verse 1, says, then King David turned to the entire assembly and said, my son Solomon, whom God has clearly chosen as the next king of Israel, is still young and inexperienced. The work ahead of him is enormous. For the temple he will build is not for mere mortals, it is for the Lord God himself. In other words, David is saying, this is not just a place for people, for us to meet each other. This is the house of God, for God to meet with us. Right? It's all about relationship. God is into relationship. The number one thing, importance of God, is relationship. God himself is a relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus died so that we could have relationship. Right? It's all about relationship. And Sunday is a day of relationship. Sunday is a day that we come to meet with God. We come to seek God. We come to hear him speak to us. Right? Sunday is a day that we come to meet with God. Now, I'm the pastor, so I got to be here, right? But even when I wasn't a pastor, I went to church not because I had to, not out of obligation. I went and I go to church because I want to meet with God. I want to meet with His family, right? It's all about relationship. You know what? When Karen and I first got married, we slept on a double bed. Do you remember that, sweetie? This double bed. I had it before we got married, and we got married, slept on this narrow double bed, and we kind of move over, and just as soon as you move and you're trying to sleep, you wake each other up, you know? So we went from a double bed to a queen bed, and now, of course, we have a king-size bed, you know? And we love our king-size bed in our bedroom, right? And so we got a big screen TV in front of it now, too, as well. So it's such a great place, right? It's our favorite place in the house. And we spend more time, we're going to be honest, we share a life with you, right? We like to spend more time lying on the bed than we do on our couches, on our sofa. It's our place of relaxation. But you know what the best part of that king-size bed is? It's when we have our grandkids over. And when the grandkids are over, we get on the bed and they pile on the bed with us, with the toys and everything else, and we have fun. You know, we laugh and we joke, we tickle them, we have those little play fights. What a great, it's all about the joy of being together. And I love the king-size bed because there's so much room. There's lots of room for everyone. Well, that's what God's house should be like. We should all be together having a great time together, having a place of joy and fun and laughter too as well. Amen? Isn't that, church should be a place where we have fun, where we laugh because we're part of the family, right? Not all rules and regulations, don't do this, don't that. No, come into church, stiff, go out the way of the stiff, like cardboard, you know. We're supposed to be, you know, I remember Chuck Swindoll said, church can be like either one of two ways. It could be like a bag of marbles, steelies come in, you know, and all the marbles kind of roll out and they come. And then when they go home, they just kind of roll back into the bag and they go out and there's nothing left. But church should be like a grapevine that's kind of squeezed together, you know. All the juice kind of runs and flows and everything kind of blends together. You know, I like that aspect of it because it's organic. There's life in the church, right? It's not stiff and organized. You know, and we don't come out the same way we came in. We're blended together as one. One house, you know, one together, one mind, one heart, one purpose. Amen? You know? And I got to say this, just like you got to choose a house. How many of you have houses that you live in, right, or apartments? Just like you got to choose a house, you got to move into it, right? In the same way, when you choose your church, you got to move into it. And you got to move into relationships. And you have to make it your home. Right? And when you find your home, here's five things I want you to do. This is what we need. When you find your home, number one, don't miss a family meal. Don't miss a family meal. Every Sunday, come. Even if it snows 8 inches outside. Every Sunday, come. And enjoy and relax and partake of worship and the word. You know? Feed your soul. My soul will be fed with the richest of fare. Let your soul breathe and feed and be strengthened. You are who you are inside in your soul. And God wants to minister to your soul. Know that person. I pray, brethren, that you will prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. God wants to prosper your soul so that your body souls and that you prosper materially. In every area of your life, amen, starts with your soul. Don't miss a family meal. Get fed every Sunday. Number two, connect in a small group. And if you don't like any small groups, start a small group, right? Be a part, get together, pray together, make friends of faith, pray together, stay together. So connect into a small group. So important that you know you get connected. That's that grapevine thing. Number three, serve somewhere. Serve somewhere in the house. You know, where kids are little, they used to clear the table. We even made them wash the dishes sometimes, didn't they? They didn't like it, but we made them do it anyway. And they got to learn. You know, the older our kids got, the more responsibilities we gave them, right? Serve somewhere in the house. Number four, give financially. Give financially. You know why? Because it's your house. It's your house. When I was a kid, home was provided for me. Now I provide a home. It's a sign of maturity that I provide. See, I don't have to give. I give because I want to give. I get because I get to give. Because this is now my home. It's not Pastor Doug and Karen's, or it's not, you know, it's your home. It's my home, right? That's why when I hear people say anything negative about my home, I say, shut your, I don't say it, I say it in a polite way. What I'm trying to say is, shut your mouth. It's my home. It's my house. And I love my home. Don't say anything negative about my home. Amen? It's my house. It is God's house. It's His house first. His home, His house is my home, our home. Amen? Number, last one, invite others in. Invite others in. When we were kids living in Tabor, our kids all the time invited the neighbor kids in. We're sitting around at the supper table, there's another kid, you know? It was great. It was their friends, and they became our friends. We got to know our neighbors and our by their kids first, right? It's great. Keep on inviting. Connect. Don't miss the connections, right? If you want direct protection in your life, if you want direction in your life, if you need affection in your life, then you need connection in God's house on a regular basis. Amen? Acts 2, verse 42. Familiar, we've preached on this scripture before. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So there it is. All the believers, they came into God's house to get taught. They heard the apostles' teaching. They came to fellowship. They came to share in communion, to prayer. They came to give. And it says the Lord, there's another scripture that follows that, the Lord added to their number daily. And if you look at all these, just in that one scripture, this is exactly what I told you in those five things. Don't miss a family meal. Connect into a small group. Serve somewhere, give financially, invite others, and the Lord added to their number. Amen? It was their church. So that's what they did. It was church then, and it's church for us today. Okay? Number three, home is a place of progress. Home is a place of growth. Psalm 128, verse 3. Your wife will be like a fruitful grapevine, flourishing within your home. Your children will be like vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. That is the Lord's blessing for those who fear Him. I heard somebody say, you can tell the character of a man or a husband, you can tell his spirituality by looking at his wife or looking at his children. What's the demeanor of his wife? Is she happy? Has she got a smile on her face? Or is she depressed? What's your kids like? You can tell the character of a man by looking at his family, his children. Amen? So important that men of God, if you're a man, lead and bring your family to the house of God. Amen? It says here, like fruitful vines, your wife, like olive trees, your children are growing in the house of God. Psalm 92, verse 12. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. Here's a picture of a palm tree. These are palm trees. Palm trees are incredible trees, tropical trees. When the high velocity tropical winds and the storms blow, these trees, they just bend over because of the force of the wind. And I've heard that some of these palm trees, the tops of their branches and leaves can actually end up touching the ground. But when the storms are over, they just spring right back up to life. God says we're supposed to be like palm trees, strong, resilient. No matter what storms come again, we will spring back. Yeah, we'll feel the pressure, and we may get down, but we'll spring back up. Resiliency, strength of character. says we'll be flourish like palm trees, and we'll go strong like the cedars of Lebanon. Here's the cedar of Lebanon. What a beautiful tree. Strong tree. That's an incredible tree for kids to climb in and have a lot of fun and build a tree house in, right? The cedars of Lebanon are valuable trees. They're big, strong, verdant. Talks about character, strength of character too as well. And it says that in verse 13, planted in the house. What did it say planted? What does it mean to be planted? It means to be planted, right? Not like here one day and not here, or in this, with this church and then that church. Planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Amen? Home is a place where I'm growing. Home is a place where my kids are growing. Home is a place where we should be growing together, right? You know, and I think about it. Of all the things I want in life, as I grow older, which is a good thing, right? As I grow older, I think the thing I want most in life, and I know I'm going to want most in life, is that my kids and my grandkids are serving God in His house. Because if they're not serving God in His house, then I'm going to worry about them, right? Because the house of God is a place of protection, provision, blessing, favor. It's everything that we need in His house, right? Home is a place of progress and growth. Home needs to be priority. One more I'm going to give you. Home is a place where we are centered on Jesus. Centered on Jesus and built together as His people, right? The greatest institution on earth is the church. The greatest institution on earth is church. I think it was Isaiah said, in the last days, the house of the Lord will be the chief among all the mountains. He says there are mountains in society, education, education, a business, all these different mountains. But it says the house of God will be chief among the mountains. It is the greatest institution on the face of the earth. And it will rise up, become stronger than we've ever seen it as the days grow darker. And you've heard the saying too. We don't go to church. We don't just go to church. We are the church. And that's exactly what 1 Peter 2 says. And you are the living stones that God is building into a spiritual temple. Ephesians 2:20. Together we are His house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Jesus, Christ Jesus Himself. You are the living stones. Together we are His house. And Christ is the cornerstone. He's the cornerstone. He's the first stone that is set into the foundation. From Jesus, the whole structure is positioned. The whole structure is built. We are fit by Him into His house. God knows our shape, so He fits us in by His grace. Amen? We are fit in because of Him. We fit together because of Him, because of what He's done. You know, we are the church. Amen? It's not an organization. It's not a building, a piece of architecture. No, it's just not a name. You and I, we literally are the church. Amen? King David said in Psalm 23, verse 6, remember the Psalm, 23rd Psalm, surely the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, something like that, will follow me all the days of my life, right? I love the Message version where David says, your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. Your beauty and your love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. I say, when you find home, when you really find your home, stay there for the rest of your life. We're the people of God. And who's the first person we love? God, Jesus. And I can be 100% honest to you when I say to you, I love God. And I love His house. Because this is what God's house represents. Here's the review. This is a place of protection and safety. This is a place of residence and relationship. This is a place of progress and growth. This is a place of provision and peace, you know. And this is a place of His presence, His people, and His purpose. Amen? This is a place of healing. Can I say to you, how many of you are thankful for the house of God today? Let's thank God for His house. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your house. What a gift and a privilege. It's a place of healing. It's a place of healing. Just as in a natural, God gave us health in the family. Just as in a natural, God gave us health in the family. He said, it is not good for a man to be alone. Be fruitful and multiply. So in the spiritual, God says it's not good for a man to be alone. So be fruitful and multiply. Listen, everything that we need is in the house. Everything that we need is in the house. We need to have, and we can have today, a greater appreciation for what God has given us in His house, right? His house is our home. So therefore, I'm going to challenge you, make it your priority. If you agree with that, say amen. 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 Let's bow your heads, please. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father in heaven, thank you for your house. Thank for the people who serve in a house, give in a house. Thank you that every person that comes to this house can be here, can come here, belong here, be loved here, and feel needed here. Father, I thank you, and I pray for even more people to come, more people to serve and to give, so that our church can grow stronger in its mission to reach more people for Jesus and bring them into your house. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Keep your heads bowed for just a minute. I think I know just most people here, and maybe, but there may be someone here, you haven't really made that decision to invite Christ deep into your heart. The Bible tells us clearly that Jesus Christ came to earth to fulfill His mission, and that mission was to deliver us from sin, the power of sin, hell, and death. And He did that by dying on the cross and shedding His blood for our sins. Because of the cross, you can be forgiven of every sin you've ever committed and every sin you will commit. Because of the cross, you can be assured that when you leave this earth, you will have eternal life in heaven. Wow. And not only that, you can begin right now to have a new life, a new start. Jesus called it an abundant life, life to the full. Salvation is the greatest gift you could ever receive on this earth. And you can receive that gift today simply by believing in Jesus. If you believe that Jesus died on the cross, if you believe that He paid for your sins, you can invite Him into your heart and you will receive the gift of salvation. You can receive heaven as your destination. You can be forgiven of all your sins, and you can have a brand new life and a relationship with God. If that's you, you say, that's what I need. God, that's what I need. I need to be saved from hell, from eternal death, and I want a brand new start in my life. If that's you, I want you to say this very simple prayer, a very powerful prayer, but the Bible guarantees, God guarantees, your life will never be the same again. Okay? So let's bow our heads. In fact, can I have everyone repeat after me? Dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you died. I believe you shed your blood to pay for my sins. Today, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life.